Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون ولتكن منكم أمة يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر وأولئك هم المفلحون ادعوا إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة ادعوا إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن إن ربك هو أعلم بمن ضل عن سبيله وهو أعلم بالمهتدين
یہ آیات سورہ آل عمران اور سورہ النحل کی ہیں. پہلی دو آیات سورہ آل عمران کی ہیں, ان کا مطلب ہے کہ اللہ اور اللہ کی رسی کو سب کے سب.
These verses are of سورہ آل عمران and سورہ النحل. The first two verses are of سورہ آل عمران, which mean and hold fast altogether by the rope of Allah and be not divided. And remember the favor of Allah which He bestowed upon you when you were enemies, and He united your hearts in love, so that by His grace you became as brothers, and you are on the brink of a pit of fire, and He saved you from it. Thus does Allah explain to you His commandments that you may be guided. And let there be among you a body of men who should invite to goodness and enjoin equity and forbid evil. And it is they who shall prosper. This verse is of Surah An-Nahl, the translation of which is, Call unto the way of thy Lord with wisdom and goodly exhortation, and argue with them in a way that is best. Surely thy Lord knows best who has strayed from his way, and he knows those who are rightly guided. Grace of the Almighty Allah, last Friday the second mosque in Spain was inaugurated. The entire Jamaat was joyous, and they are. I also mentioned a few matters in this regard. With this same reference, I would like to draw further attention towards some aspects. As we observe all over the world, and as the promised Messiah alayhi salam has stated, at present, our Jamaat is in great need of mosques. This is a house of God. In whichever town or village a mosque of our Jamaat is constructed, it should be considered that the foundation of the progress of our Jamaat is laid. If there is any such village or town where there are less Muslims or no Muslims at all, and there you want to bring about the progress of Islam, then build a mosque. Allah the Almighty will attract the Muslims there Himself. However, this is with the condition that when building the mosque, there should be sincere intent. It should be made purely for the sake of Allah the Almighty. There should be no selfish or egotistical motives, nor any vice whatsoever. It is then that Allah the Almighty will confer blessings. I have presented this extract on many occasions in the past. However, the matters entailed therein are so important that every Ahmadi needs to reflect over them again and again. The first point is that this is a house of God. The matters that we should bear in mind for the house of God need to be given attention to. If one believes that there is a God, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, every Ahmadi is firm on the belief that God exists. If this is the case, one needs to give attention towards giving due regard, respect, and populating the house of God. When for the sake of Allah the Almighty, due regard is given towards populating the mosque, subsequently, alongside worship, attention will be given towards fulfilling the right of creation. We would also have to give attention towards living in mutual love and affection. Drawing attention towards this point, the Holy Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, says with reference to mosques, "It behoves the members of the Jamaat that they should, in unison, offer the congregational prayer in this mosque." He said that there is great blessings in this congregation and unity. Dispersion leads to discord. This is the time when unity and accord needs to be given great enhancement. Trivial and small matters should be overlooked, which can be the means of discord. Thus, the first point that should be borne in mind with reference to this being a house of God, that this is a house of God, and every Ahmadi living in this area needs to give due heed towards offering the congregational prayer and discharge the right of it. Discharging the right of offering the congregational prayer should then lead one attention towards the fact that we must live together in love, affection, and unity. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam stated that at this time, unity and accord should be greatly enhanced. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam made this statement approximately 108 years ago. At the time, the manner in which the Promised Messiah alayhi salam's companions were continuously provided moral training and the standard of the taqwa was such that it was immensely greater than today. They had far greater fear of God. Their attention towards prayer was much higher than now. In fact, those who accepted the Promised Messiah alayhi salam were those who had a special connection with Allah. However, it is the task of a prophet that he should clarify all the finer points of taqwa before his followers and that he should guide them towards achieving the highest standards. This is why he explained all potentialities to his followers. He advised and he counseled them that there is a great need to give heed towards this. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam was concerned that this was the early period. If the standard of taqwa was not lofty now, then there would be no such examples set for the people coming in the future for which they could strive to emulate. The series of presenting the accounts of the companions that I began has much left in it, because we have not ascertained all the accounts of the companions, and those that we have before us are very few and brief. But even those that have come before us entail such a standard which draw our attention towards praying for those companions. Further, those who are amongst the progeny of those companions, of whom some may be living here in Spain, must especially give heed towards praying for their elders and towards emulating their examples. And here, in this country, we still have to carry out an immense amount of work. We have to once again re-establish that lost glory, which was lost by those living here many centuries ago. We have to once again explain the excellences of Islam to the people living here and to bring them under the banner of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For this to be achieved, the most vital aspect is to discharge the right due to Allah, to beseech Him for help and succor, and to become one identity and unity, and to carry out the work of preaching. Thus, it was not only the time of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, which was a time where we had to give enhancement to unity and accord. But in fact, even today, when we are present with a major claim that we are going to bring this entire country under the banner of Islam, we would have to, first of all, enhance the unity and accord amongst ourselves and to establish the highest levels of it. If all office holders and every member of the Jamaat do not play their respective roles in bringing about this unity and accord, then they cannot become those who discharge the rights due to Allah and His house. I stated before also that the beauty of the mosque can only be of avail when the spirit of those who enter the mosque is shown to be beautiful. It is when, with every word and deed of each Ahmadi, and alongside worship, sentiments of mutual love and affection are visible. The Holy Quran has also expounded this before us. Allah the Almighty has stated in the verses of the Holy Quran, which I recited at the outset, and the translation of which you have already heard, that inculcate mutual love and affection. If this is not developed, there is only misguidance. It is the favor and blessing of Allah the Almighty that He has made us into one. Thus a true mu'min, a true believer, must reflect upon every command, every guidance, and every injunction of Allah the Exalted. Neither am I exempt from these commandments, nor are you. Neither is any office holder, nor is any murabbi or maballig exempt from it, and nor is any member of the Jamaat, either man or woman. As long as we hold fast to the rope of Allah, as long as we continue to act upon the teachings of the Holy Quran, as long as we remember this favor of Allah the Almighty, that He enabled us to become Ahmadis and to remain firm upon Ahmadiyyat, we will be those who discharge the right due to Allah, and we will be those who discharge the right due to the house of Allah. As long as we hold firm to the teachings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his ardent devotee, the Imam of this time, we will be those who are discharging the right of this reward and blessings, and we will be those who are showing gratitude to his favors and blessings. As long as each and every single one of us who comes into the oath of allegiance of the Khalifa of the time not only listens to what the Khalifa of the time says, but also practically strives to implement his statements, he will be deemed to be one who shows regard to the rewards and blessings from Allah. Always therefore remember that the Holy Quran, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the promised Messiah on whom be peace, and Khilafate Ahmadiyya are all Hablullah, the rope of Allah. If even one link is overlooked by Ahmadis of that rope, then they will be counted amongst such persons who are once again heading to the pit of fire. Therefore, every single Ahmadi needs to keep this point before them, that to hold fast to the rope of Allah and to remember the rewards of Allah and to show gratitude towards them will be in the true spirit, will emerge from just being words and take the shape of practical actions. Only when there will be mutual love, only when those who live in mutual love live as brothers, it is then that an Ahmadi will be truly guided and will be deemed to be one who is saved from the pit of fire. When he saves himself from every type of division, he will be deemed to be a true Ahmadi. When he saves himself from every selfish and egotistical thought, when for the sake of acquiring the pleasure of Allah, every person loves each other, it is only then that a true Ahmadi becomes a true Ahmadi. Thus fortunate are those people who have channeled their thoughts in this pattern. You should shape your deeds and words in this manner. When we acquire this standard, it is only then that we will be able to invite others. And we will be able to proclaim most loudly that, O people, come, here you will find the light of God. Today there may indeed be a section of people who are far removed from religion. In fact, there is a large population of the world who are far removed from religion. Even a greater proportion of the world reject the existence of God, and this is especially true in the Western countries. Spain, however, is a country where there is a sizable part of the population who are inclined towards religion. 2 days ago, there was a reception held here with Spanish people. Here, sitting beside me, was the president of the Valencia Parliament. During our discussions, he expressed with deep concern that now people are moving far from religion. We need to strive to bring those people back towards the religion. Normally, people at this level are far removed from the religion and are more inclined towards worldly matters. This is normally the case with those people who I've met in the West. However, here I have observed that even people at this level are inclined towards the religion and are religious persons. So thus even such persons are concerned. So religion, which is the true religion, is now, as Allah the Almighty has clearly expounded, is Islam. For this reason, no other religion can bring a person close towards Allah the Almighty, nor does it have the strength to do so. Now it is the religion of Islam alone that has the power to bring man close to God. However, those persons who are tasked with the responsibility of spreading Islam, those persons who Allah the Almighty conferred upon the blessing of having one end of the rope of Allah, are Ahmadis. So thus, if there is a contradiction between what we practice and preach, if on trivial matters there is discord between us, such discord and divisions which causes damage to our unity and identity, which prove to be a hindrance in our responsibilities and in bringing about its best results, then most certainly we would be accountable to God. As I also explained in the previous week's Friday sermon, that thousands of Spanish people who centuries ago were on the foundations of Islam, thousands of such people have now once again re-entered into Islam, and they continue to do so. But they do not know about the true Islam still. It is we who have to enlighten them with regards to the true Islam. There are in Europe and other Western countries such Ahmadis who are of the local or indigenous population who became Muslims as a result of searching for spirituality. However, the Muslim leaders or the Muslim clergy, that is the ulama, did not guide them towards that spiritual station which they were in search of. This led them to further investigation and research. They were then brought towards Ahmadiyyat. So thus, this is a matter of reflection for every Ahmadi, that the newcomers who enter into Ahmadiyyat receive spiritual satisfaction and tranquility. For this, we the old Ahmadis have to keep a firm eye on this. If old Ahmadis, especially the Pakistani Ahmadis who are now living outside of Pakistan, do not discharge their responsibilities, then they may be the means of turning away those who are in search of truth. They will be playing the role of those who cause those searching for truth to become far removed from the religion. Thus, every Ahmadi must understand his and her responsibilities. In the reception that I mentioned, I briefly spoke about different aspects of Islamic teachings. There was one lady who later, after the dinner, came to meet me. She was wearing a scarf. She stated that I am a Muslim. I said that in appearance you seem to be Spanish. She also said that I am also an office holder of a certain Muslim organization. She said that you presented the beautiful teachings of Islam in an excellent manner, which greatly pleased me. When I said to her that you appeared to be Spanish, then the son of Maulvi Karim Elahi Zafar, who was an old missionary, was standing beside me. He said that she is Spanish, now she has accepted Islam. The word that the son used was that she has converted to Islam. That lady immediately spoke out, "No, I was not converted. In fact, I have been reverted to my faith, the faith of my forefathers." So thus, there are many people here who are in search of the religion of their forefathers, of their foundation, and of their roots. So thus, in such places and among such people, we have to carry out work with great endeavors. However, I say again and again, if you want blessings to be infused in this work, you will need to reform your state in accordance with the commands of Allah. It is only we who can quench the thirst of those who are in search of Islam. When the promised Messiah alayhi salam stated that consider that the foundation of the progress of Islam is laid by building a mosque, he thereby also placed a condition that when building the mosque, the intent should be sincere, only then will it be beneficial. So therefore, it is only sincerity that will work in the building of the mosque and populating it, rather than cleverness, deceit, or any other means, such as knowledge and intellect. Although these aspects also work in parallel, but sincerity and acquiring the pleasure of Allah are the first and foremost basis. When you think beyond selfish and egotistical thoughts, obtaining office, and also other selfish things, then inshallah ta'ala, we will see the blessings of Masjid Bashar at Bedrabad, and we will also see the excellent results emerging from Masjid Baitur Rahman, Valencia. As I stated, in the inauguration of this mosque, a reception was held. This is the first time the Jamaat of Spain has organized at such a large scale. In addition to neighbors, there are also educated persons, government officials, and politicians. They were people of all segments of society. They left with a very good impression. Many of them stated that we heard of the beautiful teachings of Islam for the first time today. Others stated that we were getting very emotional. In fact, some of them were those who reject the existence of God, namely atheists. Even they expressed that we learned a great deal about religion. Dr. Mansoor Saab was mentioning that one of my acquaintances, a fellow doctor, was very emotional. Thus, if today belief in the existence of God and the beauty of religion can be expounded by anyone, then it is Jamaat Ahmadiyya alone. Those persons who accept the promised Messiah on whom be peace, those people who are included in the community of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. Those for whom Allah the Almighty has provided a means to hold on to the Hablullah, the rope of Allah. You will see in the programs after, it will be published in the reports, and MTA also have recorded some interviews of many of the guests who came for the reception and expressed their sentiments with regards to the mosque and Islam. As I stated, there was also a speaker of the Valencia Assembly present. He had gone somewhere, perhaps to Madrid. Those of you living here are aware of the distance between here and there. Even on train, it takes approximately 2 hours. So he was late in arriving. His staff had already informed that he would not be able to make it. However, when he arrived 1 hour before the program at the station, and he immediately told his driver to go straight to the mosque. He had gone for some official work, and he informed me that today in the afternoon I had a meeting with the foreign minister. Yet despite this, he gave importance to the program in the mosque and he came straight here. He had first considered that he would remain for half an hour and then leave. But he sat here and he listened to what was being said with enthusiasm. He also expressed his own views and he said, "The teachings of Islam you have presented are very beautiful." So in the same way, there were many other people who came here. There were politicians, there were lawyers, and there were doctors. There were members of parliament. All left with a very good impression. As I stated, that this was the first such function which the Spain Jamaat have organized on this scale. Approximately 108 Spanish guests were present. There were also neighbors present who were previously opposed to the mosque being built. If they even had some doubts or misgivings in some of them, and they had expressed it before, then after the speech, those misgivings were dispelled. I started by speaking about the rights of neighbors and its significance in Islam. In any case, now the world's attention is in this direction. After building this mosque, which has now been constructed, and after the inauguration and the reports in the newspapers, it will be further focused in this way. We need to play our role. Thus, there is a need to understand this responsibility. In the verses that I recited, in the second verse of Surah Al-Imran, Allah the Almighty, whilst in the first verse has given emphasis upon unity and accord, so that one can remain firm on guidance and can be saved from misguidance, and can go on taking share of the blessings of Allah. So in the second verse, he has stated that let there be a body of men among you who yad'una ila al-khair, who should invite to goodness. So thus the Jamaat or the community which invites towards goodness, which enjoys virtues and forbids evils. That there should be such a group of people or such a community. So first and foremost, this group relates to Murabbiyan and Muballighin, the missionaries. They are the foremost and first addressees, because it is you, the missionaries, who for the moral training and for preaching have been made the representatives and have been sent here and in the world. You are those advisors who counsel others, who are informing the world that if you require salvation, then hold fast to the rope of Allah. If you want to cater for your life in this world and the world to come, then love, brotherhood and affection needs to be promoted. If Murabbiyan and Muballighin themselves are not establishing the highest standards, then how will they advise the world? The work of Murabbiyan is also to provide the moral training of the Jamaat and also to carry out preaching. So thus, for both tasks, there is a great need to show great resolve and tolerance and to inculcate it amongst others. There is a need to establish the highest levels of patience. There is a need to establish the highest levels of obedience and to inculcate it in others. To have accord between what you practice and preach is greatly needed. As I stated, the Murabbiyan, the missionaries for the spiritual progress of the Jamaat are representatives of the Khalifa. Thus, endeavor to discharge this right. Difficult circumstances may be faced. The wrong attitude of some people and office holders can be such that it will cause you to be concerned and perturbed. On some occasions, the level of patience will also be tested. However, immediately pray and carry out istighfar and think on the lines that we have dedicated our lives for the sake of Allah. We have made the pledge that we will establish the highest forms of tarbiyat in the Jamaat, and the world which is astray we will bring under the banner of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you think on these lines, then nothing that anyone says to you can cause you to move away or move away from that effort to obtain your objective. Al-Izzatulillah, that all glory is Allah's, will always remain before you. You have made a pledge to dedicate your lives. This will always remain before you. The greatness and splendor of Allah the Almighty will always be in your mind. Being tolerant and enduring the wrong attitude of office holders will make you into those who acquire the pleasure of Allah. Because in every type of circumstance, you'll be implementing Ya'maruna bil Ma'ruf, to enjoin goodness. Therefore, it is not the work of missionaries to only save yourselves from divisions and being in the pit of fire, but it is also to save the world from divisions and discord, and to remove them far from the pit of fire. As I stated, this task cannot be achieved without sacrifice. Then, secondly, those people and that group is addressed in this verse who are the Jamaat office holders who have presented themselves to serve the Jamaat. There is also a trust entrusted to the office holders of the Jamaat. Those who do not discharge this trust can come under the chastisement of Allah. Allah the Almighty has mentioned this clearly in the Holy Quran, that you will be held to account. This right of the trust can only be discharged when there is accord between what you say and what you do. You should not have an office only for the sake of having an office, but it should be with the passion to serve and to establish high standards of loyalty and dedication and to bring that about in others. Sayyid al-Qawmi Khadimuhum, that the leader of a nation is a servant of a nation, should be always borne in mind. The examples of the office holders should be such that it brings about piety in the members of the Jamaat. If you do not practice what you preach, then how could you possibly advise others? The other will say to your face that first rectify your own faults, first correct your own language, first improve your own morals, first facilitate and cater for your own spiritual state and make efforts to improve it, first improve your prayers, first establish justice in your worldly matters, and also increase your level of trustworthiness. In order to convey the message of the Jamaat to the world, inculcate a passion and zeal. This is a responsibility of the office holders, the Murabbiyan, the missionaries, who are representatives of the Khalifa for the moral training of the Jamaat. They must be respected. This is the biggest responsibility of the office holder, to respect the missionaries. In short, strive to channel your inner and outer state in accordance with the command of Allah. Only then can you claim that you are counted among such people who enjoin goodness and forbid evil and fulfill this right. In this respect, at every level of the Jamaat, every office holder needs to carry out a self-assessment. In particular, the Sadr Jamaat and the Amir Jamaat, wherever they may be. Otherwise, these persons are becoming a means of discord in the community. The most respect of the Murabbiyan and Muballighin, the missionaries, should be from the Sadr and the Amir Jamaat. As a result of this respect, the Murabbiyan, the missionaries, should not assume that this is their respect. In fact, this should lead them to further humility. This should lead them to further attention towards self-reformation. When, at every level, we achieve this standard, then observe how the various problems of tarbiyat in the Jamaat will be resolved, will improve, and in the field of preaching, we will witness extraordinary triumph. This identity, this unity, and this respect will confer blessings in every single task of ours. I should also clarify that the attitude of office holders between each other and the way they deal with one another should be excellent. This is of critical importance, and this is extremely vital to infuse blessings in all tasks. If there will be discord, if the differences between each other increase, if selfish and egotistical thoughts become prevalent, and if the patience and tolerance decrease, then the results that emerge are of extremely negative kind. Hadrat Khalif Tomasi I, may Allah be pleased with him, in commentary of a verse of the Holy Quran, has related an account. There was a wealthy person or a chief, and somebody complained to him that you have a relative or a wealthy person related to you who has verbally abused me greatly. That chief called that relative or that person who was wealthy, and he verbally abused him most profusely. That other wealthy relative or person listened patiently. Afterwards, the chief said, "Why did you verbally abuse that other person?" That wealthy person replied that he first used foul language against me. I could not tolerate this, so this is why I responded in kind. So that chief then said to him, "I verbally abused you, yet you just listened quietly." This means that it is not a case of you not having patience. You possess patience, and hence you listen to my foul language against you. You only verbally abused him and used foul language towards him because he was more lowly than you, or you considered him of a lower status than yourself. If you had displayed patience, you could have showed patience because you have the potential. I have just taken a test of your patience and you just have shown it to me. So thus, these are the standards of patience that we must show. That even if we show patience to someone of a higher status before us, of someone more powerful, of a greater significance to us, then we should also show similar patience to someone of an equal or lower status or level than us. It is only then that we can eliminate all discord and divisions. We advise the world and we tell them about the beautiful teachings of Islam. But when the time comes, the majority of us let go of the mantle of patience. If we achieve this standard, then in the field of preaching, new avenues will continuously open. The general members of the Jamaat should not consider that Waqfeen e Zindagi, life devotees, and the office holders alone have these responsibilities. This increase of mutual love and affection, and to maintain peace and reconciliation, and to hold fast the rope of Allah, and to hearken to the teachings of Allah and the Holy Prophet, and to practically implement them, and in accordance with the teachings of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, to enhance your level of taqwa, to hearken and listen to every word of the Khalifa, These are all the responsibilities of each and every Ahmadi. It is these matters that can also preserve the identity and unity of the Jamaat, to respect and regard the office holders, and to obey them in Jamaat matters is the obligation of every Jamaat member. In mutual relations, at home and outside the home, to establish the highest standards of morality is the duty of every Ahmadi. It is only then that you can be saved from falling into the pit of fire. Allah the Almighty has further not stated that preaching is only the task of the missionaries, the Muballighin, or is the responsibility of those few people who present themselves for Dawat Allah, inviting others to Allah. Indeed, Allah has mentioned a specific group, but with regards to Dawat Allah, there is a general commandment. Allah the Almighty has enjoined to follow every command and every example of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So thus, we would also have to emulate him in the field of preaching. In the third verse of Surah An-Nahl that I recited, this is precisely what Allah the Almighty has expounded. We have been entrusted with this responsibility. It is the responsibility of each person, every murabbi, every office holder, and every member of the Jamaat, man and woman, that they should call others to the path of Allah. We have also been taught the manner of calling others to the way of Allah. Allah says that call others with wisdom. Now your introduction, which is spreading around the world, people are being drawn towards you. Alongside the building of the mosque, new avenues of preaching are opening for you. Newspapers are also writing about you. So thus, taking avail of this and understanding the wisdom of preaching, then discharge this duty. This is what Allah has said. This word of hikmat, of wisdom, which Allah has used for preaching, entails manifold meanings. In different circumstances and for different people, it has been indicated in what manner and how you must deal with them. The first point is, it is necessary to acquire knowledge of the religion, which can be attained through learning the Holy Quran and its commentary. You should also strengthen your arguments. Further, there are other points which have been clarified in the Ahadith that have been said by the Holy Prophet ﷺ, through which you should strengthen your arguments. In addition to Islam, objections and criticisms are raised against the Holy Prophet's person. You should also establish strong arguments in this regard and learn them. Another meaning of this is of adl, of justice. In debates and discussions, never use such arguments which are based on criticisms. And that instead of implementing this teaching of Islam, that on every occasion the standards of justice should be fulfilled, that we should act in such a way that rather than having a good impact, it could bring about a bad impression. That rather than doing justice, we could be doing injustice. We see amongst the non-Ahmadi Muslims that where, on an intellectual level, they are thoroughly defeated, they immediately resort to foul language and also injustice. Thus, rather than presenting the wisdom of the word of Allah, they are presenting their own self-filth. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, through his ilmul kalam, the knowledge of the religion, has given us such sound knowledge and reasoning that during the course of preaching, there can never be any expression of injustice on our part. So thus, in order to carry out preaching with hikmat, it is necessary to also study the promised Messiah alayhi salam's words. This will not only benefit you in your field of preaching, but this will also play a role in the moral training of every Ahmadi. Hikmat also refers to gentleness and forbearance. Patience is also included in this. In preaching, patience and forbearance are extremely important. There are many new Ahmadis who specifically ask that in which manner should we preach to our relatives. Some of them have great longing and passion for their close ones. They are in a state of great anxiety and restlessness. When they tell their relatives with regards to Ahmadiyyat, then instead of listening, they become enraged and speak in harsh terms. At such a time, it is the duty of every Ahmadi to demonstrate gentleness and forbearance. This is hikmat, and this is of extreme importance. The hearts of many a people soften through hikmat, through gentleness and forbearance. Many people relate their accounts that our patience and our forbearance was such that we were going to lose our temper. However, we remain steadfast in patience. Then, with regards to hikmah mentioned in the Holy Quran, according to the lexicon, it also means something which prevents someone from becoming ignorant. That is, in preaching, you should say such a thing which prevents the other from being ignorant. In other words, you should speak according to his understanding and temperament. You should not utter any such thing which can lead him to further ignorance. Perhaps there is the section of the Maulvis or the section of a people whose hearts have turned to stone. The decree of Allah the Almighty has destined for them a death of ignorance. If with wisdom and understanding every person's temperament you speak to people, then the hearts start softening. Or in the very least, if he does not accept what you are saying, he will listen quietly. In fact, those who reject the existence of Allah, those who are opposed to religion, their hearts also soften. They subsequently desist from making ignorant and wrong criticisms. As I explain and I give the example at the reception, amongst the people who came here were many who were of no religion. One couple, after hearing what I said with reference to the Quran and the Hadith, who were a doctor, said, "These matters of the religion are impacting my heart in a manner where I feel like to go on listening. So thus the teachings of Islam are so full of wisdom that if they are presented appropriate to the surroundings, they have an impact upon the world. I repeat once again that now these fields which are being readied and clearing for us, our introduction which is increasing, you will have to take care of this. And it is the responsibility of every single one of you to do this. Hikmat also demands that never say any wrong word. In fact, always say something which is true and clear. In fact, Islam has given such a true and clear teaching, and Islam is such a beautiful and true religion where there is no need to say anything completely indirectly. We are not like those ulama, those Muslim clergy, who say that to fulfill the requirements of wisdom, even if you have to lie, then you should do so. And this is written in the books of commentary. What kind of hikmat is that which entails falsehood? Where there is falsehood, there justice and peace eliminates. Where that is finished, discord and chaos emerges. It is exactly this that we observe in Pakistan and other Muslim countries. When discord and divisions are produced, Islam no longer remains. So thus, if anyone can spread the true teachings of Islam, if anyone can explain his true teachings, it is an Ahmadi whose every statement is based on truth, knowledge and also justice. Thus, this is an immense responsibility upon every Ahmadi that we must discharge. Allah the Almighty has stated, fulfill the rites of hikmat, that is, increase your knowledge, increase your level of patience, increase your level of justice, and in your everyday routine life, this should be demonstrated. Develop within you an ability to understand other people, because without identifying and understanding other people, you cannot carry out preaching. Understanding other people properly is an important method and principle of preaching. When this occurs, your advice, your counsel will be excellent, and your preaching will be full of hikmat, of wisdom. It is then that you will be acting upon Mu'izatil Hasana. Mu'izatil Hasana, in saying such a statement which softens the heart. So thus, that statement which fulfills the requirement of hikmat softens the heart. Here, different nationalities reside. You will have to devise different methods of the best way of tabligh to them. Allah the Almighty has also guided us in this way. جَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِي أَحْسَنُ. In other ways, carry out preaching with such excellent arguments and wisdom which impact the heart in such a manner that the heart starts to soften. It is the work of every Ahmadi to carry out the task of preaching. In terms of reaping its fruits and rewards is the work of Allah. To guide others is the work of Allah. But as I said at the outset, for this work, the greatest need is to self-reform. It is only then that what you say will have an impact upon others. It is only then that your arguments will be effective. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, on one occasion, drawing attention and guiding towards the method of advising others, said, "You should advise others verbally. There is only one thing, but by doing it in one manner, it can also make one into an enemy, and doing it in another manner can make one into a friend. So therefore, جَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِي أَحْسَنُ, that in accordance with arguing with them in the best way, you should act." So acting on this manner of conversing and speech has been called by Allah as hikmat. So therefore, to speak with hikmat is necessary amongst each other and also for preaching. It is necessary for tarbiyat and also to call people in the world towards Allah. The avenues of preaching with Allah's grace are opening. To take benefit and avail of these avenues which are opening, and through one united campaign to carry out the work of preaching is now the work of the members of the Jamaat. It is now up to you to what extent you discharge this. The newspapers have reported news with regards to the mosque that the Islam has entrenched its flag. The Khalifa said that in the 7th century, Muslims were expelled from here. We now have to return. But our objective will not be achieved only through news reports. Similar news reports were published with reference to Hazrat Khalifa Masih IV when Masjid Basharat in Pedrabad was inaugurated. However, take stock. Have we achieved anything in the last 30 years? So thus, progressing nations are not joyous by just newspaper reports. Those nations which achieve their objectives in the receptions and in the gathering of their friends are not just joyous by the emotional sentiments of the guests. In fact, they take a self-assessment. They form new programs, forming one unity and identity with a new resolve and determination. They allow their programs to come into practical implementation. They do not rest until the point where they achieve their objectives. Small matters have no significance in their eyes. They are not merely on the lookout that what has the Amir or the Sadr Jamaat said with regards to me. In fact, to such people, progressive people say that these small matters have no value to me. I have pledged allegiance with the Imam of the time, and I have to fulfill that I will give precedence to my faith over the world. If I give attention towards these other things, it will disperse my thoughts, and I will forget my objective. And in bringing my fellow countrymen under the banner of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these other things will become a hindrance. And I will be bringing about divisions. And I will be one who ruins my life in this world and in the hereafter. So if you have sympathy towards me, if you have compassion towards the Jamaat, do not convey these remarks to me. In fact, if you hear anything about any person, they should not be conveyed, because this is counted as backbiting. If every single Ahmadi, every single Muballigh, and every single office holder thinks in this line, then inshallah, the paths of revolution will continue to open up. So thus make a firm resolve at every level, whether he is a Khadim, an Ansar, or a member of Lajna, that to bring about the preeminence of Islam, I must eliminate all divisions, and I must uproot all types of grudges and discord. May Allah the Almighty enable all of us to accomplish this. In the last sermon, I mentioned the capacity of the mosque. Technically, it was as what I had said. However, according to the various halls, the capacity means that more than 600 people can pray here. In any case, may Allah the Almighty bless this mosque in every respect. One of our sincere Ahmadi friends of Nawabshah, 2 days ago, he was leaving from his office or shop. He is a lawyer by profession. The opponents fired with him with bullets and severely wounded him. He is in critical state in a hospital in Karachi. The doctors will be looking at him in the next few days, and then they will be able to report if he is out of danger. May Allah the Almighty
Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina وَمِنْ سَيِّئَاتِ أَعْمَالِنَا مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْهُ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ وَنَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله
ایک دعا کی تاریخ بھی کرنا چاہتا ہوں ہمارے ایک مخلص احمدی دوست نواب شاہ کے ان کو گزشت دو دن پہلے وہ اپنے دکان سے آ رہے تھے وکیل بھی ہیں پیشے کے لحاظ سے مخالفین نے گولیوں کے فائر کر کے شدید زخمی کر دیا ہے کریٹیکل حالت میں ہیں ابھی ہسپتال میں کراچی میں ابھی کچھ عرصہ اور دیکھیں گے ڈاکٹر آئندہ چند دن اور گزر گئے تب بتایا جا سکتا ہے کہ خطرے سے باہر ہیں کہ نہیں ان کے لیے دعا کریں اللہ تعالیٰ ان کو شفاء کاملہ عاجلہ عطا فرمائے
عباد اللہ رحمکم اللہ إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وَدُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ